Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
If you were to look up in a tree and see a kangaroo, you might jump out of your skin in surprise. What's a kangaroo doing in a tree? Well, if it's a tree kangaroo, it's probably making itself right at home. Not much is known about the elusive tree kangaroo, but scientist Lisa Dobick hopes to change that. She's been researching these teddy bear-like tree climbers and working to conserve the ancient forests of Papua New Guinea that one species of these high-altitude marsupials calls home. On a recent field expedition, Lisa Dobick brought along author Cy Montgomery. Cy wrote a children's book about their adventure called Quest for the Tree Kangaroo. Cy and Lisa, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Cy, what's the tree kangaroo look like?
Oh, my gosh. It looks like something that Dr. Seuss would have made up if he was working with the manufacturer of stuffed toys. It is just the most adorable thing you've ever seen. It has these pert upright ears. It has a white snout with a lovely little pink nose. It has a long golden tail. And it has a lemon yellow or white belly and great big sweet eyes. Unbelievably cute. And it's about the size of a great big raccoon.
Cy, when you first went into the cloud forest where these tree kangaroos are at home, what was it like? What did you see? What is one of these cloud forests like?
Oh, man, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous place. I like to tell people it's like what heaven would look like if heaven had leeches. It's
okay.
And who knows, maybe they do. First of all, to get there, this is the most remote place I've ever been in my life in all the expeditions I've ever done. We had to hike for 3 days up into the cloud forest, up to 10,000 feet, where the forest is just shrouded in mist. It feels like a mystical, magical place. And all the great trees are covered in moss, and the moss is laced with ferns, and there's great big vines hanging from everything, thick with moss. There's orchids growing out of the trees. There's rhododendrons growing out of the trees. Some of the flowers are huge and showy, and some of them are small as a dressmaker's pin. And it looks just like the kind of place where you'd expect some hobbit or some troll to step out. But better than that, look who's there. Kangaroos in the trees.
Now, Lisa, these guys are hard to see, I mean, let alone monitor or track. What do we know about tree kangaroos, and what have you learned in studying them?
Well, what we do know is that they are kangaroos. They're in the kangaroo family. They have pouches like regular kangaroos, but they live in the trees. And really nothing was known about them. But from the work that we've been doing in Papua New Guinea, we now know how they use the forest, how much forest they need to eat and to move around to find their mates. We're learning a lot of different things.
Lisa, how do you catch an animal that's hard to see? And looking at the book that you guys put together and the photographs, seems to be perfectly happy at 85 feet up in the air.
I know, it's amazing. The villagers, the hunters, spot them, and then they cut down the brush underneath the tree, and they surround the tree, and then one of the men climbs a neighboring tree and starts making noise to frighten the animal. And then the animal, when it wants to get away, it can leap down, and as far as 80 feet. And once the animal lands on the ground, then the hunters can grab the tail of the animal.
Ouch.
So I would not be able to do that.
Now, you get the locals to help you catch them, and then what do you do once you've caught a tree kangaroo?
Well, we have a team of researchers, and we take blood samples, measurements of the animals, and then we put radio collars on them to really get a good handle on the home range of the animals, because that's going to determine how much forest we really need to protect for healthy populations of animals. And then we're also trying to get a good handle on their feeding ecology. So far, we've documented that they eat over 90 species of plants. So we put the radio collars on, but we're also, these blood samples and fecal samples, we're able to look at the genetics of tree kangaroos. And that's really important because very little is known about the taxonomy and the classification of tree kangaroos. There was a new tree kangaroo species that was discovered in 1995, so only 10 years ago. And for a large mammal, that's pretty exciting.
Now, Sai, from your visit there, how do the people of New Guinea view the tree kangaroos?
Well, they think, until Lisa told them, that everyone has tree kangaroos. That's why they thought she was kind of nutty to want to see them. And they were thrilled to discover that they were the lucky ones, the only people in the world to have the species that Lisa studies, the Matchies. It only lives on one peninsula, on one half of this one island in the whole world.
Animals like this often have some folklore about them. What's something special that folks there believe, maybe a myth about the tree kangaroo?
Well, they obviously think that tree kangaroos have some kind of special power because there's one belief that if you think of the girl that you love before you let your arrow fly to shoot a tree kangaroo, at the moment the arrow pierces the animal's body, that's when she will fall madly in love with you.
Oh, my. That makes it tough on the tree kangaroos.
Yeah, I know. It's really a pretty rotten Valentine's Day gift for them.
Lisa, what are the major challenges facing the tree kangaroo in terms of conservation?
In this area, it's mainly over hunting. And that's why we can work with the local hunters to talk about sustainable resources. Because with them agreeing to set aside portions of land that are safe for the animals to breed and then disperse, they actually can have a sustainable resource. In other areas of New Guinea, it's logging and mining, so basically the destruction of the tree kangaroo's habitat.
What do you hope this book accomplishes, Sai?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, first, it's a great adventure story about real science. This is like a National Geographic expedition. You know, 44 people from three continents, including quite a few local people, hiking for 3 days up into a totally unknown place to study an animal about which almost nothing is known. That's just a great adventure story that makes science exciting to kids. And Lisa's a great heroine. I mean, she's a fabulous scientist, and a thing that few people know but will after they read this book about her is that even though she's working at 10,000 feet in this very strenuous environment, she has asthma and has not let that stop her. She also didn't let it stop her when other scientists said that what she wanted to do would never work. So that's a great lesson for kids. Another thing, because she's amassed this large team of people from all over the world, some of us bring to this job talents you wouldn't think could help conservation. So whatever talent you have, you can bring this to help the world remain whole. But the one thing, of course, I really want to get across the most, and you know this very well, Steve, is that all of my books are really love stories. And these animals, you look at them, and immediately you just lose your heart. You love them. You cannot help but want to know that they're going to be surviving halfway around the world. Even if you never even visit a zoo, you want to know that they're continuing to survive in this fairy tale beautiful habitat of the cloud forest of Papua New Guinea.
Thank you both for being with me.
Thanks, Steve. It was great.
Thank you so much.
Lisa Dobick is a scientist who's worked with tree kangaroos in Papua New Guinea, and Sai Montgomery is the author of the book Quest for the Tree Kangaroo. To see photos of the tree kangaroo by Nick Bishop, go to our website, www.loe.org.